Forever Dog.
Rose and Jamie are two best friends,
and they love Sex and the City.
And they couldn't help but wonder,
do you love it too?
Carrie,
Miranda,
Samantha,
Charlotte,
Cosmos,
Emotions,
Frenchies,
dudes.
So many dudes.
Every single dude.
All the dudes.
And we couldn't help but wonder.
With Jamie Lee
and Rose Cerno.
I'm Jamie Lee.
And I'm Rose Cerno.
And sorry.
I mixed it up. Did it confuse you? I never say it that way.
You sounded so upset to be here.
I'm sorry. I'm just really overwhelmed.
And I'm Rose Cerno.
I think we should keep it in. I really do. I don't think we should redo it.
Keep it. All right.
It's okay.
Walter Cronkite Cerno just showed up.
I know. And this is
Couldn't Help But Wonder. A podcast where we talk about Sex and the City and how it relates to us. I texted Jamie and Skylar earlier. It's a weird day to record a podcast.
White supremacist terrorists
have tried to, have overtaken Capitol Hill. Somebody was shot and there's an attempted coup happening and we are here.
Talking about Sex in the City. Because we're all about levity over here.
You know.
Wow.
I was like, I don't know if I can do it today, but I know that I can. And this will be going on all day, so I can be glued to the news for 23 hours instead of 24.
Exactly. What a day. What a time in history. Well, Rose, on that note, who were you this week?
I would say this week I am a classic. I would say I'm a Carrie Charlotte blend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because my back is finally getting better to the point where I could go back home. I'm standing up, obviously. And so I'm dating again. And when I start dating again, just a lot of my old anxious attachment habits just get really triggered. And I just do a lot of behaviors that remind me of Carrie and Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Charlotte, because Charlotte's like a they both have anxious attachment, but Charlotte, the way I feel like Charlotte is like, I go to fantasy land very quickly. And like, people might think that's normal, but there's a level of it that's not useful. And I definitely feel like I have done that with a couple of people, either good or bad, like assuming things are going to be amazing or assuming things are going to be terrible. And both of those are.
Is that what that means? Fantasy land? It could go either way.
It's obsessive thinking. It's like future tripping. So I was doing that. And then, there's just a bit of a quality of intensity that I'm trying to kind of calm down and ground and work through. So I'm trying to do healthy, mindful, grounded dating, which is a challenge for me. It's really funny. I had a therapy appointment this morning and I was telling my therapist that like, there was a guy that I matched with who like wanted to go on a distance walk. And after a 2-hour FaceTime, I was like, he's nice, cute enough, but I just don't see it.
Weren't and so feeling
I texted him. I was like, no, thank you. Like, you seem really great. I sent a really nice text, but then I told my therapist about it. And I was like, do you think that's bad? Like, should I have given him a chance? And he's like, just so you know, Rose, like you're don't trust your instincts when it comes to dating. Cause your instincts are interested in people that are not the right match for you. So I think he wasn't saying like you should or shouldn't go out with this guy. He's like, but if you didn't just like instantly feel like hot fire, he's like, the people that you're going to feel that with are going to be people that are triggering your attachment wounds, not like actually good partners.
Wow. And so what's the fix for that? How do you tap into like, he's your like, you just good have intuition?
To have, well, he just says that I think it's just over time spending time with people. And he was like, he's like, the thing I hear over and over again, he's like, from my clients who have anxious attachment styles, they're looking for someone who's really good looking or really successful or really funny. And he's like, those aren't the qualities that make a good partner. The qualities are available, make you feel secure, are interested in you, actively, you know, wanting to be around you, like
Right, right. Oh, that's so interesting. That's really interesting to hear.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm definitely a Carrie Charlotte blend because I'm getting a little cuckoo. But unlike Carrie and Charlotte, I also have a bit of Rose in me, which means I go to therapy and I take care of business.
Yes, that is very not Carrie or Charlotte.
Not at all. Who were you this week?
I was just a pure ass Carrie, just completely undiluted. I have been only writing and shopping. So
fun. And you live in New York.
That's about as Carrie. Yeah. And I'm living in New York right now. That's about as Carrie as it gets. I mean, it truly is like, I don't know. I don't see how it's sustainable, but it's like I'm working on this movie that I'm writing and I have a schedule that I've made of like, I have to hit a certain number of pages every day. And so I've been hitting it. I think the schedule is almost too easy on myself. It'll be like, write a page and a half today. And it's like, of course I can do that fairly quickly. But I did that to like, so I don't psych myself out.
Well, you're giving yourself reasonable goals. You're not making it crazy.
So if I surpass it, I'm like, wow, Jamie, great. You made it
to
2 pages.
But that's actually good. I like that.
It probably is, but it's also going a lot slower than it could. But anyways, then on any time I'm like, I've finished a task, I'm like, you know, I'm going to take a walk. And then like, I went to Sephora the other day and I like just bought this stupid color of eyeshadow that I'll never wear. And then I was like, I have to return this. So I returned it. And then I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, I returned it. So that means I have $20 to spend. And then it's like, I ended up like buying another thing. It's just like, I should have just returned it and gotten my money back. But instead I was like treating it like it was some
like
kind
it was
of like
free
credit
money.
I had. Yeah, like free money. It was just sort of silly. And I just, New York is so expensive. I know that we know that. But like when you're really here and the day in, day out, you're like, this place is outrageous.
Are you sinking money right now? Are you hemorrhaging money?
I think I've reeled it in because I think when I first got here, it was just like, just kind of cold and shitty outside.
Ooh, New York, restaurants, fun.
Yeah. Or even just like, I liked like ordering Grubhub and Seamless because all the food here is so great.
Yeah, it's delicious.
But after a couple weeks, you're starting to be like, wait a minute. Like we're spending so much money on food. It's so out. It's just like getting out of control. So I finally bought groceries this week and like I feel more like an adult. But yeah, so I think the hemorrhaging is slowing down. But yeah, I mean, I spend so much more here than I ever would in LA. But what are you going to do? So anyways, yeah, I definitely need to reel it in. But yeah, this city is just so
spendy oriented.
It's so spendy. It's also like, even if you don't spend, even if you're not buying expensive things, it's like, even today I went in to get coffee in a random bodega. And then I was like, actually, I'm also going to get a Red Bull because sometimes I like to have those in the fridge if I like really have to do like a long stretch of work. And I just bought a coffee and a Red Bull and it was like $7. And I was like, is that what it normally costs? Like everything just feels so inflated to me.
Dude, I feel like a latte in LA is like basically, I feel like when I got a matcha latte,
that's true,
it was like $6.
This is bodega coffee though. So I was like,
yeah,
I don't
it
know,
should
in
be
my
free.
Head, I was like,
they should be giving it out.
Yeah, I was like, it should be like $1.99 or
it
something.
It should be like donations
then,
requested.
And then like, how much is a Red Bull? Like, I feel like Red Bull should be what? Like $2.49? Like, I don't know. I just, in my head, maybe I'm totally wrong about what things cost, but that just sounded so expensive to me. So yeah, I'm just kind of like trying to be responsible.
There you go.
There you go. Okay, well, today we are talking about season 6, episode 9, A Woman's Right to Choose. Rose, kick it off.
So the episode begins with Carrie buying gifts. Everyone she knows is either getting married, having a baby, or something like that, and she has to get something for everyone. Later, she and Stanford head to a baby shower for their friend Kyra. When they arrive, is it Kira or Kyra?
Kira. It's just spelled Kyra. That's how she's credited.
Oh my God, I love that you literally like spelled it the right way. Okay, great. When they arrive, they're quickly told to take off their shoes. Kira doesn't want dirt coming in, so Carrie just has to trust that her Manolos will be safe without her.
Over at Miranda's building, she's trying to keep her co-op board meeting from running long so she can get back to Brady. The board is set to interview Dr. Leeds, a potential new tenant. As soon as he walks in, Miranda changes her tone. He's very handsome, played by Blair Underwood. Mm. And suddenly, she has all the time in the world to chitty-chat with Dr. Leeds and the crew.
Meanwhile, at Charlotte's, she's getting the hang of living with Harry. This is so disgusting. The guy's a bit more of a slob than she'd like. He leaves used tea bags everywhere, and she wanders around cleaning them up. Back with Miranda, the housing board wraps up and they don't want Mr. Leeds, but Miranda thinks that's BS. They flag his alimony payments and that he's single, while she knows that their real problem with him is plain and simple. He's black.
Back at Kira's party, Stanford and Carrie decide it's time to leave. Unfortunately, when they head out, Carrie has a surprise. Someone stole her Manolos, the ones that she was asked to take off to enter the apartment. Kira apologizes and gives her a ratty pair of shoes to walk home in, which she discusses the next day.
These were new Manolos. I hadn't even done a full lap around the party. And you know, I don't play favorites with my shoes, but these were very special.
Who would steal shoes from a party?
Someone size 7 with excellent taste.
Why in hell did you take your shoes off to begin with?
We had to. For their kids. Apparently we drag things in on our heels that make children sick.
Please, it's children who drag the germs around. Brady got the chicken pox courtesy of some kid who licked him at the playground.
Oh my God.
Kira must have been mortified. Actually, I kept waiting for the mortification that never came. She just said they might turn up and sent me home.
Those shoes are not turning up anywhere but a pawn shop in Brooklyn.
Oh, stop. I'm gonna cry in my flan. So that's it? They're just gone? Boo-hoo?
Well, legally, she owes you for them.
Oh, I can't ask her to pay for my shoes.
Why not? If you gave a party and told her to leave her baby outside in the hall, and her baby was missing at the end of the night, believe me, there'd be payback.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Children are not shoes.
I know, I'm not saying it.
You have every right to be upset about your shoes. I am so sick of these people with their children. I'm telling you, they're everywhere. Sitting next to me in first class, eating at the next table at John Shook. Look at that. This place is for double cappuccinos, not double strollers. I'm sorry.
Hey, no need to apologize. I wouldn't bring Brady here. Mommy needs two hands to eat her $8 cake.
You're not gonna defend children?
No, I don't like any children but my own. Look at that dirty little rugrat.
That's just chocolate. All children are beautiful, but not as beautiful as Brady.
You know what's interesting is one of my mentors from the Sundance Labs, Jenny Bix, is an executive producer on the show and doesn't have children, never had kids, has been with her partner, husband for a long time. And it's just funny because it's like, I'm sure a lot of this is her experience also, like coming into this of like being treated.
Did she write this episode?
This is one of her episodes, yeah.
Okay, well, this to me makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But I have to say, it is truly insane to me. My sister has kids. I don't have too many friends with kids, but I do know some people with kids who I'm close to.
Yeah.
And if you lost a pair of designer shoes at their house, they wouldn't be like, oh, whatever. I mean, that's like, kids or no, that's like really crazy behavior just to give someone like some ratty sandals.
No, this woman, this, I feel like
selfish.
It's really frustrating because I feel like they're definitely alluding to the fact that Kira is not reacting. She's not having an appropriate, normal reaction to someone. By the way, this is a small gathering. So it's not like, whoa, there were so many people here. Who knows who could have walked off with them? There were like 20 people. You should be sending out an email and being like, hey, who took Carrie's shoes? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I trust you guys.
You should also be extremely, extremely disturbed.
Extremely
disturbed. That a friend of yours would steal someone else's things. That's crazy.
That's my point. It's like, this is a bigger problem than just, oh, Carrie's shoes went missing, whatever. It's like
one of your friends is a fucking thief. One of your best friends.
I'm like, there's a much bigger issue at play here. It's like, Kira's a sociopath. That is not really being driven home as much as it should be.
100%.
It's just interesting. Like, yeah, I feel like we kind of just sort of gloss over the fact that her reaction doesn't make sense. Her friend, someone is a thief in the group. We don't know who. Like, the whole thing is just a bigger deal than, oh, my Manolos went missing. And I don't know. I'm also feeling lately like, I know it makes sense in New York City to take off your shoes when you enter a place. I get it. Everyone's walking around. You're bringing in dirt, whether you have kids or not. Like, it's just bringing dirt into the house. Why not leave the shoes at the door? I will say, just from an aesthetic standpoint, I hate having to take my shoes off. I just hate walking around in my socks when like the rest of my outfit is cute. I just hate it. And I understand it and I'll do it, but I hate it.
I have to say, it does make an alpha look bad. And I probably don't like doing it in other people's homes. My house is too small for it even to matter. But I have quite a few close friends who are Asian, and it's a very common thing in Asian households to take off your shoes and not walk around. And they think that like white people are like filthy just to like trot on everything.
It makes sense.
It is a little filthy.
No. I'm saying the tradition makes sense.
No, I hear you. I'm just saying
custom. I am just talking about from a purely selfish standpoint. I get sad when I have to remove my shoes because then I'm just like, well, I feel like I'm at a pajama party. I'm just like strolling around in my socks.
I know.
But I do understand it. And I also like, yeah, I've had people over. I'm like that. Like, yeah, shoes come off. Like, it's just a thing. I get it. It makes sense.
I think this woman is nuts, though, because it's like also like putting your feet in another person's shoes is disgusting. And just being like, oh, here's the I think it would have. She would have been much more sympathetic if she was like, oh, my God, Carrie, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. I've got 5 kids. I'm losing my mind. I love you. This is so fucked up. Can I deal with this tomorrow? Just something to be like. Because if we're trying to insinuate that she's just can't deal with this shit, I would have more sympathy if she would just led with like, instead of this smug thing of like, that's not important. Just like, I'm having a meltdown right now. Can I get back to you? Like,
I know she's just so unsympathetic. Also, Tatum O'Neill plays Kira and her performance it's interesting. I think part of it, I think she's great. I think it's great casting. I don't feel like she acts a lot. Like, I know she was a child actor. I don't really know about her adult acting career. And it does feel like she's a little out of practice. So all of her reactions are like very big. And it's interesting because it actually helps with the character because she feels a little disconnected. So it adds to that sociopathy a little bit when she's like, wow, Carrie, I don't know. Like, wow. You're like, oh, that's like terrible acting. But also because she's such a lunatic, it works.
Well, speaking to that point, I almost expected, because this was my first time watching this episode, like I almost expected the reveal was going to be that Kira took Carrie's shoes and she was just trying to like play it off that like, oh, it's crazy they walked out of here, but I actually like have them in my closet. I can't wait to wear them. Please stop bothering me, Carrie, because I want these. But they didn't build to that.
The fact that it's not about someone, whether it's her or someone at the party, being a thief.
Yes.
And her just being like a terrible person who doesn't care about her friends who come over and bring gifts. Like, I don't know. It's just this episode feels like it should be about more things than it is.
Agreed.
That's so true.
Okay. So getting us back into it.
After lunch, Charlotte talks with Harry after he leaves yet another tea bag out. To her surprise, he takes it pretty well. He'd been trying to watch his behavior, which Charlotte totally appreciates, but she also wants him to be himself. Her apartment is their apartment now. And I have to say, I think it's really sweet that Charlotte recognizes that she's controlling and that she wants to be an agreeable, kind wife.
Yes, I think
it's
so too.
It's sweet. I mean, it's hard for her.
She's trying. No, yeah, she's really trying. Is. And that is hard having like someone move into your space and, you know, it's an adjustment.
I also, yes, I really like Charlotte's, the way that Charlotte's written in this episode and the way that she reacts in this episode. I love the choice of what they do with Harry, because it's like, as soon as Charlotte asks him to get comfortable, like, no one has ever gotten more comfortable than Harry's character in this episode.
It's so funny.
Nuts. It's so funny.
And he's like, it's cocktail hour.
And like, the idea that he's always like, felt oppressed by clothes or something. He's like, finally, I'm married. It's I can so be funny. Naked. It's
He's
wild.
He's also just such a like straight laced lawyer type in so many ways. So it's just very funny that that's kind of how he like lets loose behind closed doors.
It's so goofy.
So Miranda runs into Dr. Leeds again. The board approved his application. So they are officially neighbors. While they ride the elevator, Dr. Leeds gets very close to Miranda. It looks like she picked up Brady's chicken pox. He helps Miranda doctor her chicken pox back in her place, where he also meets Brady, until Magda steps in and breaks up all of their flirty tension.
Racist. And Carrie decides to stop by Kyra's house to check in on her missing Manolos.
Oh my gosh, Carrie, I am such a shit. I should have offered to pay you for them.
No, you don't have to do that.
You know, you have kids and you lose all sense of social decency. Come in.
Hey.
makes her take off her
shoes
again.
Milo, honey, put your trucks back for mommy.
Okay. So, how much were they?
$485.
Oh, come on, Carrie. That's insane.
Well, that's what they cost.
I'll give you $200.
Okay, this is an awkward conversation.
I'm sorry, I just think that's crazy to spend that much on shoes.
You know how much Manolos are. You used to wear Manolos.
Sure, before I had a real life. But Chuck and I have responsibilities now. Kids, houses. $485, like, wow.
I have a real life.
No offense, Carrie, but I really don't think we should have to pay for your extravagant lifestyle. I mean, it was your choice to buy shoes that expensive.
God.
Yes, but it wasn't my choice to take them off.
They're just shoes.
Shoes.
This is almost... This is so black and white. It's like...
I mean, it's so... it's so bad. Like, I mean, also when Carrie says... this is just a writing thing. When Carrie says, yes, but it wasn't my choice to take them off, I also wanted an acknowledgement of, like, right, but it wasn't my choice to have them stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where is the acknowledgement that someone stole her property? Like, I don't know. I just want somebody to get angrier.
I also feel like... This episode is from the point of view of people who, women of a certain age who don't have children. The theme of the episode is being made to feel like you're self-centered, that there's something wrong with you, and that you're doing things incorrectly. And that's totally valid. And I totally understand that. I think this woman is so extreme that it's just a very extreme example of the other side, because most people with kids, you have a very close friend, Julia, my sister, like they do get in their kid world, but they're not like this. It's like, this is very, it's just really extreme is all I can say.
Yeah.
It's just so judgmental.
I almost think that the example here of someone stole her shoes is not maybe the best example of this, like, because it's such a big swing and it does have implications like legal implications and other things that tied to it that don't get addressed in this episode. I don't know an alternative to this, but there probably could have been something that exemplified what they are going for, what point they're trying to prove more. I don't know what that would be, but I don't know that this is the best example.
Yeah, I also just think
it's a little confusing. It's a little conflated.
I just think it's tough because there are things that definitely happen when people that you're close to have kids. For example,
that's my point.
They're way less available.
Yes.
They're distracted when they talk to you on the phone.
Yes.
They can't really listen to you talk about your problems.
Right.
And even if they don't mean to, there's always a subtle vibe of like, at least there was with my sister, of like, oh, you're writing a script for a fellowship. That's cool. I'm raising a baby. I mean, she would never say that, but there's just always a layer of it. It just happens. That's relatable. This woman being like, well, you shouldn't have bought those shoes is...
That's what I'm saying.
It's just like really judgmental.
We're kind of missing the mark on the point I feel like they're trying to prove. I like it because it's very heightened.
It's fun to watch.
It's so outrageous and it is so fun to watch. But yeah, I feel like...
It's bizarre.
It opens up a broader conversation that's not really being had about like how crazy this woman is, how extreme it is that like Carrie's property was stolen. Shaming her for that. I don't know. It's like, I almost like want to see more of Kira or something to understand how fucking crazy she is. Like, it sucks that we only get her for one episode, I guess.
Yeah, she's like, I agree.
She has a lot. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like, this to me feels like an episode that should be about ending a friendship. Like, to me, this is
exactly.
Not.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Exactly.
This is an episode about, I've been friends with this person for 10 years. We went to college together.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter.
Done.
If somebody
We're
is,
done.
It's so disrespectful.
We're done. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think it's a great conversation. And I think that I'm sure when this aired for the first time, it was a huge deal for women without kids to be like, thank you. My life is fucking valid. But yeah, it's a really dramatic kind of comparison.
Yes. All right. So back at home, Carrie talks over her Kira run-in with Miranda. Miranda's chicken pox have gotten worse, and she's doing her best not to scratch by binging her favorite British show, Jules and Mimi. Over at Charlotte's, Harry's really taking Charlotte's advice to get comfortable. He wanders into the kitchen fully naked to throw away a tea bag. Unfortunately, that's just the beginning. Harry loves to be nude, and Charlotte doesn't love it so much. But she doesn't say anything either.
This reminds me of a time when my sister and I lived together in our 20s in New York and Williamsburg. And she walked around in a G-string and sat on our furniture. And I was like, Molly, that's fucking disgusting. Sorry, Mol, I love you. But I was like, can you just put a towel on there or something? I was really grossed out. So I really understand where Charlotte's coming from.
So funny. Well, also, everything in Charlotte's apartment is white.
Like, but even if it wasn't, it's disgusting for someone to put their bare ass on your furniture.
It is, but it's particularly stressful. Like, yeah, I don't know. I just found it very stressful. Yeah.
So Carrie decides to patch things up with Kira with a phone call, which, like, why? Honestly.
I know. Fuck this girl. I hate her.
She's a monster. She's still feeling weird about the shoe shaming, but as soon as Kira picks up, she makes everything worse. Kira claims she's already forgotten about all of it, and Carrie must have loads of free time if she's still thinking about it before, what a psycho, before taking off to deal with one of her kids. Carrie catches up with Charlotte afterwards for a thorough rundown of all she's spent on Kira over the years, and they both agree. Single women basically get screwed in the gift-giving game, but I just have to say, this is not, I think the reason that this episode is confusing is because they're trying to do a really thoughtful, interesting episode about women who have kids shaming women who don't. But it kind of feels like the episode is really about this girl, Kira, who's a absolute psycho bitch.
Right.
It's almost like they like went a little too far with the person who's supposed to be like representative of parents.
It's too weird.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not like if that's the point, they're trying to make is not the point
it's getting
should
lost.
Be made.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, being like, you must have loads of time. It's like, is this episode about Kira's like super depressed and has an anger problem or something?
Right. Like, or is she like a kleptomaniac? Like,
yeah,
you know,
what's
and
going
she
on
took
with
the
Kira?
Shoes and are the shit like, yeah. All right. Well, anyways, Samantha tries to have a productive work lunch at a restaurant, but she's interrupted by a loud child playing with pasta. To make things worse, a host stops by to tell Samantha to get off her phone. Samantha asks if he has any plans to do anything about the disruptive kid. He does not, so she takes it into her own hands and confronts the mother of the child. Instead of listening, the kid flings pesto pasta in Samantha's face, so Samantha leaves.
It's funny. It's a really funny scene, and like, it's really funny when the mom like sneakily looks at her kid.
She's like,
and
honey, don't do that to the nice lady.
It's super funny. I definitely feel like I've been on all sides of it. Like, I haven't been on the side of being a mother, but I definitely understand that kids are kids. But I'm sure there have been times where I've been in movies or restaurants where I'm like, I did you bring, but you're not mad at the kid. You're mad at the parent. Like, why fuck would you do that?
Yeah, of course. Also, it's like a schmancy midtown restaurant where like,
it's just not the right vibe. Yeah.
No.
But I mean, you love to throw pasta in people's faces. You will agree that that's cool.
That part's fine.
We all love that.
It's just also funny to see Samantha have that happen to her. She's such a funny character. So over at Charlotte's, she has yet another run-in with naked Harry, which is also interesting because in addition to this storyline, I think there's another layer of like Harry not being that attractive as part of the, I don't know, there's layers to this. Mm. While she, because it's not like it's Brad Pitt who's just like waltzing around, you know what I mean?
It's definitely supposed to play on him, it being also
being a
funny image of him being the person who's naked.
It's supposed to be, yes, exactly.
She's like, kind of like, honey, I want to fuck you, but in the dark.
Yeah, like when I can think about my ex.
When I can think about Trey's body.
Harry, at least do me the courtesy of putting a bag on your head.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll look at the body.
At least wait until I do the hologram machine on top of you. While she is trying to be less rigid, Harry dropping his bare ass on her new white couch is too far. I have to say, asterisk, it's also really tone deaf of Harry to think that she would be like, do you even know your wife?
You know
like,
your wife?
Yeah. So she finally says something, and yet again, Harry takes it pretty well. He'll start wearing shorts.
Back at Miranda's, Dr. Leeds stops by.
I'm fine. Come on in.
Oh, it's not that bad. Oh. Hey, I've seen a 7-foot-tall man's shin bone poking through his calf, so. Hey, where's Brady?
Oh, he's asleep.
Oh, that's too bad. I wanted to give him this.
Oh, I'm pretty sure his hand-eye coordination is still a little subpar to make the team.
If he's gonna go pro, you gotta start him young. What are you watching?
Oh, it's just Jules and Mimi. It's silly.
Yeah? What's it about?
Well, that's Mimi. She's the landlord, and right next to her there is Jules, and they've slept together a couple of times, but Jules may be involved with the girl who works in the sausage shop.
Mm.
In a nutshell.
Well, he seems to be pretty into her now.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Really?
That, my cable's not hooked up yet.
Jules, you know, you didn't have to bring the rent over in person.
It's a few tube stops between friends, eh?
I love a brother with an accent.
Do you think we'll stay friends after this?
I hope not. Oh, Mimi. Oh, you're so soft. Oh.
So funny.
It's a great scene.
Oh my God.
Mimi, you're so soft is so funny.
You're so soft. I thought that too. I'm like, I never realized that that's what's said. It's so funny.
I have to say, there's also something like, I wouldn't say racist, but sort of like racially embarrassing. Because she's watching this thing about, like,
a white woman
who's, like, exoticizing a black male, you know?
Which I actually think they are, maybe not directly, but it's definitely known when they wrote this. Like, she's a white woman who's attracted to a black man. Yeah, like, she's watching this almost, like, erotic fan fiction of, like, ooh, what would that be like? And then they're watching it together. It's still, the whole thing is just... And it's basically porn. It's so excellent. I love everything.
It's interesting because we've like said many times, many ways. We've said that this show is fucking absolutely has its head up its ass when it comes to race. But it's kind of funny because then we have an episode like this where it's like they're acknowledging racism because the board doesn't want him to live there.
Yes.
And people are disapproving. But they're like acknowledging it and there's like a dusting that it's wrong, but it's more kind of like a shrug of like, well, that's just how it is. It's like they don't really want to go there or comment on it, but they're like, yeah, I mean, racism. Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of interesting. It's like such a like
it is
pinky toe version of dealing with it.
No, I know. It is interesting too, because, yeah, I mean, co-op boards are just so notoriously shitty and difficult and. Yeah, so I was like, oh, it's kind of interesting that they touched upon it, but then I agree with you. It is just like a tiny little acknowledgement.
They don't really deal with it. Like,
no, and also like Miranda, if those are your neighbors, like I would fucking have it out with them. I'd be like, this is like not where I want to live.
Yeah, it should have been like a locker room scene. It should have been like this is fucked up. Like he is a full doctor. Or there should have been a scene with the core four and her being like, oh my God, I live in a racist
building.
That's
if it were written today. That is exactly what would happen if it were written.
Also to the point in which they make these like little stutter steps towards like being a little more progressive and inclusive, but they're not ever fully going all the way. Like they have this first black character who is a romantic lead, but of course he is a doctor, but he's a doctor for basketball. Like it's like so like it's gotta be like we gotta make the black guy associated with basketball in some way. It's like really
I'm glad you said this, Skylar, because I posted something like this on my Instagram about The Bachelor, but then I deleted it, not because I think there was anything wrong with what I said, but I just wanted to celebrate more that there is a black bachelor than criticize it. But I just started watching The Bachelor. I'm sure 99% of our listeners also watch The Bachelor. There's a very big overlap between people that watch Sex and the City and people that watch reality TV shows about romance. And the black bachelor is lovely, gorgeous, seems like a great guy. But we learn early on in his story, he's mixed race. His mother is white. His father is black. He grew up with his mother. It sounds like his dad was not in the picture. And I'm like, they've had 25 seasons of white people. The first time they put a black guy on, he has to not have a relationship with his father. There weren't thousands of other black candidates, men who had like awesome, stable families. again, it's not to criticize him. It's the producers of like,
yeah,
you know that all of your audience is largely white. You're just kind of feeding into this corny ass stereotype. Like, I thought that was lame, honestly.
Agreed.
Like, if you're going to, The Bachelor is watched by millions of people. If you're going to make this big deal about the first Black Bachelor, just have him come from a two-parent household. How hard is that? Like, you know?
Yeah, there, I mean, this, like, this feels like such a common problem, like, where there are, again, like, stutter steps towards inclusivity and whatnot, but, like, there's always some way in which, like, especially when it's white creators, there is, like, hedging or some clunky decision-making that goes into the depiction of a character of color, and it's, like, it's annoying.
It's just, like, don't do... I'm surprised in 2021, they're, like, we found the perfect Black Bachelor. He was raised by a white family and doesn't have a relationship with his Black dad. Yeah. It's, like, really? That was...
I know. You're like, guys, yeah. It's just like, ugh. You always, yeah, it's just like.
There wasn't one other guy in America.
Like, can we just like round this out without that? Yeah.
This is stupid. Okay. So anyway, and Carrie makes one more call to Kira. She says she is getting married to herself and she's only registered at one place, Manolo Blahnik. Kira finally gets the message through her thick fucking skull. Goes to the store, buys the shoes that she's registered for, and Carrie finally gets her shoes back and heads out on the town to enjoy them.
This brings us to our question of the episode.
When we were young, Marlo Thomas sang to us about accepting each other and our differences. But then we got older and started singing a different tune. We stopped celebrating each other's life choices and started qualifying them. Is acceptance really such a childish concept, or did we have it right all along? When did we stop being free to be you and me?
This is like a classic example of like a really bad question.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't think it applies to what we just watched. I honestly don't even know what to do with it.
This is what the question of the episode is. How do you punish your psychotic friend who tried to steal your shoes?
Yeah.
That's the real question, I think.
That's also I would love to watch that as well.
I would have loved also to just read that column of Carrie's where it's like, here's how I got back at Kira.
Yeah.
You know what's strange about this episode?
I killed
episode?
A mouse and left it on her doorstep.
Yeah.
I took one of her kids.
I feel like there are scenes and episodes where Carrie, you know, really fucking lays down the law and says something really poignant. I'm kind of surprised that she didn't. She's too like thoughtful about this. She's too like, there are good people on both sides about this. It's like, no, Carrie, your friend is a psycho and you are being. Yeah,
this episode is not up for debate. Like, yeah, what is going on here is so clear.
It's just egregious.
It's egregious. It's obvious. Like, yeah, there's just nothing to. There's really no question, because most of the questions of the episode are like interesting and up, what's the word I'm looking for? Open-ended, and they
messy
do kind of leave you thinking. Yeah, you're like, ooh, I don't know. Let's explore all angles of this. But there's really no angle to explore here. We're just dealing with like a full grade psychopath.
100% agree. I think that like a question is, you know, I think something that is worthwhile debating and thinking about and something we all have experiences in our like maintaining relationships with people who have really different values and whose lives are moving in really different directions and maybe doing things that you don't approve of. For example, you could have a friend who is always broke, never has enough money to pay their bills and is buying $400 shoes. And you could be annoyed with your friend and be like, you know, I don't respect my friend. I'm really turned off by her behavior, blah, blah, blah. Like, I definitely think that there is a discussion to be had about being close with people whose choices you don't respect, whose values you don't respect. Like, how do you navigate that? But I think this is trying to kind of go there, but it just misses the mark. And I think at the end of the day, like, whether your friends have kids, whether they don't, whether they're wildly successful career gals or they're mildly successful and have no ambition, it's at the end of the day, you have to respect your friends and you have to treat their lives as important as yours. Like, you know,
very well said. Yeah, completely agree. Okay. Well, this brings us to our final segment. I'm horny for Sex in the Shit. Sex and the Shitty.
Oh!
It is obviously, it's not shitty. It's so great. But it's obviously a very horny show. So we end each episode by sharing what we are currently horny for. Rose, what are you horny for right now?
I'm horny for a few things. I'm horny for Stacey Abrams for basically flipping Georgia.
Woo!
I'm horny for all of the people that voted for the first time in Georgia. I'm horny for all of the people that phone banked for Georgia. And I'm horny for Black women who have been on the front lines of getting our country back to sanity. And we're all going to benefit from it in a massive way when Biden is president and he can actually pass stuff. Like the fact that we have
so
a Democratic
close.
Senate.
We're so close.
And I'm sorry if this alienates our listeners. You know that we're all wildly liberal. There's no, this is not like a Taylor Swift, like sharp left turn for anybody. Like, and so basically I'm just really horny for.
We've been dancing around it for so long.
Yeah, I just think that like it's been said a lot, but like Black women have carried a lot on their backs for a really long time, and we are all reaping the benefits. And I hope that socially, personally, institutionally, they are rewarded.
I love that. I'm also horny for that thing. I don't feel like just have any other horny for us. It's true. It's just
this is an unprecedented time, and finally,
it's what's going on. Yeah,
finally, there's unprecedented good news.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be like, there's this great little juice shop.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get so intense. It's just like,
No, it's perfect. I think it actually is the best way to close out this episode. We have the same horny fours for the very first time.
Sometimes ever. Jamie and I are horny about the same things at the exact same moment.
Yes. Well, on that note, another great app. I was going to say another great day. And I'm like,
yeah, you guys, as we are, I mean, you're going to get this a week or so later, but just
so
you know.
Yeah, we know it's a little delayed, but just know that that is what we are currently dealing with on this day that we record.
Yeah, just know that I am hearing sirens because there are psycho Trump supporters in downtown LA trying to storm City Hall. So it is a weird and wild time. I hope you are safe. I hope you are... don't have to deal with any crazy family that believes in this conspiracy. And I'm excited to enjoy democracy with you guys very soon.
Very, very soon. Okay. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Couldn't Help But Wonder. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CHBWPod. And follow my co-host, Rose Cerno, on Insta and Twitter at Rose Cerno. And please follow my co-host, Jamie, at ReallyJamieLee on Instagram and at TheJamieLee on Twitter. And please rate, review, subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app if you're nasty. It helps us. It helps you. It helps everyone.
You nasty.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.